welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Thanks again to Deb Skidmore for coming in and talking about fairy godmothers with us. Right now, via telephone, I have Karen Smothers, the Assistant Clinical Director for Pawnee Mental Health, who wanted to state, apparently the roads are a little bad in your area, Karen.
Yeah, they are today, and hopefully everybody's traveling safely.
All right. Well, how are things at Pawnee?
Oh, things are busy at Pawnee, as always. Going pretty well. We're kind of excited. We're going to be welcoming a new medical staff member March 5th. So we have a new psychiatric APRN joining our team, Sabra Tieperman. She has over 15 years of experience providing psychiatric services. She's coming to us from another community mental health center. She's got some great experience in community mental health. She's going to be open for new clients. So we're really working on meeting the demand of the needs for psychiatric services and medication services in our community.
Brady Bowman here with Karen Smothers, with Pawnee Mental Health Services. And Karen, I'm just curious, in light of the national headlines, especially coming out of Florida and that situation there with that school shooting, we're again hearing about an emphasis in mental health and that everybody's wanting to focus on mental health. You're hearing it in Washington. You're hearing it at pretty much every level of government for the most part. What's your thoughts about that conversation when it comes to mental health and this emphasis on it? Especially, at least to me, it's interesting because you hear a lot of folks, especially in government, talk about the need for mental health. But when you look at the funding, it just doesn't seem like it's there most of the time. As recently as July 2016, Kansas Community Mental Health Centers expressed concern about $30 million in funding cuts over a 12-month period. We've seen cuts at the federal level. We've seen cuts at the state level. Just your take on that.
Yeah. Wow, you raise a really good point. You know, it does seem like mental health tends to enter the discussion when a disaster or tragedy occurs. That's probably not the time we should be focusing it on, you know, in a reactive way, but more in a proactive way, like prevention, you know, what are ways we can be ensuring that people are getting the care that they need. I do kind of hate that that just becomes part of the dialogue, as you mentioned, after a tragedy occurs. I think there needs to be some realistic expectations, though, for what appropriate funding is for mental health services so that we can be preventative. Because if as the national dialogue is now kind of looking at more funding for mental health would prevent these things, that's a pretty broad statement. Because, yeah, we could certainly use more funding to have adequate staffing levels, to keep staff trained on the most current evidence-based practices. We could use funding to ensure that people are able to get the medications that they need. We could use funding. We need more funding in research for the appropriateness and effectiveness of new meds. There haven't been a whole lot of new medications out on the market in mental health for a few decades now. They're just reformulating the same ones that we have. So we certainly need more funding in mental health. But more funding will still not, there's no amount of funding that's going to be able to help a mental health professional be able to predict violence, and there's still no amount of funding that's available that can force people to make the changes they need to, or force people necessarily to want to make a change. We can force people to get treatment, and you can't force a person to change until they're willing to. So, yes, we need more funding for mental health, but we need to be realistic about what the expectations are for that.
Again, Brady Bowman here with Karen Smothers of Pawnee Mental Health, the Assistant Clinical Director, and well said, Karen, because that's what you're hearing about. And there's a lot of aspects and angles that everybody's taking with mental health. And like you said, usually after tragedies like what happened in Florida, and I'd also like to give you the opportunity to maybe debunk a few things. One narrative that we seem to hear a lot when it comes to these tragedies is that it seems like there's a focus on folks with mental health disabilities when violent acts occur, but you look at the statistics, folks with mental health disorders aren't necessarily more likely to commit violent acts. As a matter of fact, usually they experience violent acts more so against them rather than them dishing out violent acts.
Yeah, excellent. You said that well. Yeah, what the research really does show is that people with mental illness, even severe mental illness, are typically and statistically much more likely to be the victim of a crime than they are to be perpetuating a crime. Now, that's not to say the highly publicized issues don't get more of that attention or have disastrous consequences. I guess what people don't see, and there's no way to show this, is how often those situations are prevented because a person did get treatment. There's no thought police out there. There's no way to reach in and say, here's how many violent acts were avoided because a person did get treatment. But then in the meantime, we also know that a lot of these tragedies and a lot of crimes are committed from individuals who don't necessarily have a history of mental illness. And like you said, oftentimes people with severe mental illness are the victims of those crimes, statistically speaking, more so.
And just recently with the tragedy in Florida, that individual was able to, that was a legally bought gun. I know some of the arguments that you hear in these sort of situations is that people are doing it with illegal weapons or they're not supposed to get, or getting weapons when they're not supposed to. But this instance, it was all legal, not to snuff, according to the law. And going further with this, we're also seeing a lot of conversation with gun ownership and those with mental health issues. Are at least at Pawnee, is that? And I know there's a lot of this that you probably really can't go into with any specific cases or anything like that. But do you see a lot of folks you deal with that are also gun owners?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Brady. It would be good if the current laws were being enforced. I'll just leave it at that.
Those current laws being?
About gun ownership and mental illness for people who had inpatient treatment. If those checks, background checks included that. There's just a lot of loopholes in the system and a lot of people who I don't think are following up on some of that information. I think there's just, without getting too much into it, or I don't need to express my own personal opinions, but if there are laws and if there is new legislation, it's only going to be effective if it's enforced.
Again, Brady Bowman here with Karen Smothers, the Assistant Clinical Director at Pawnee Mental Health. And, you know, one issue, we're talking a lot of things in kind of a national scope, but at a local scope, there's been a big push from pretty much every local official you talk to about some sort of regional mental health facility to help out with your load. And where are things going with that? Because, again, that's another thing. It's like when these tragedies happen, everybody talks about, oh, well, we got to focus on mental health. Well, right, we also need to see action, too. Words only go so far. What action are you seeing?
Right. So we're really excited about our co-responder program in Riley County and getting that going. So we have, as you know, two co-responders. They are therapists who work in the field with law enforcement. And so they're helping our law enforcement identify individuals who are experiencing signs and symptoms of a mental health problem that can, and they help de-escalate that situation and are diverting those individuals when appropriate to treatment as opposed to jail or arrest in some cases. The point of that, and this piece of that puzzle, the co-responder program, the next level of an effective what's called community intervention treatment, or CIT, is having a crisis stabilization unit for those individuals to go to. At this point, we've seen a great outcome from having co-responders in the field, helping consult with our law enforcement recognizing those signs and symptoms of mental illness and recognizing it as that, and how can we intervene? And we've had some great results with getting people into treatment then, or encouraging them to get treatment, or following up with them. But the part that we're missing is when those individuals need a higher level of care than just outpatient community mental health or outpatient services in the community, maybe they need, they're in crisis, they need to be de-escalated. It's going to take maybe 24 hours to up to 72 hours to help that person kind of refocus, stabilize, start on maybe medication. Maybe the environmental situation calms down so that they can regroup and safely rejoin the community. That's the piece that we're missing right now in this community, and that we're hoping to build.
And that program, as you said, has been very successful. It started last year. It's been about a year now, right?
March of last year, yeah.
Yeah, and is that something that you're hearing from other community health officials throughout the state, that maybe other police departments, where they're maybe hoping to kind of take a page out of that book and kind of follow Riley County's lead on that?
Oh, yes, definitely. So when we started our call responder program, we leaned heavily on the community mental health centers in Kansas and even in the nation, who had already kind of lived and learned some of these programs. And we were hoping to kind of glean from them, you know, their processes, their policies, how do you do this, and then even learn from their mistakes, which I'm always grateful for learning from somebody else's mistake rather than having experienced it ourselves. So that was great. That was great information for us. We went to Johnson County. We went to Topeka, Shawnee County, ComCare in Wichita, and of course, the volume of people they see are much greater, and we had to kind of scale this for what it was going to look like in Riley County. I'm pleased to say that a year into this, we recently had a visit from our colleagues in Emporia, Kansas, who also are looking at, their commissioners are also looking at a crisis stabilization unit, but they're also saying, hey, wait a minute, we need to have kind of an intermediate level here to identify those individuals in the community who may not be coming in or identifying themselves for services, and having a co-responder program as well. So they came up on site and visited with us and our partners at Riley County Police Department, and we had a great conversation and dialogue, did some consulting with them about how we got our program up and running, and it's something it sounds like they asked if they could visit with us over some of the more urban areas, because this is more scalable to, you know, what their community needed. So we were very honored to have guests kind of come look at our co-responder program and see what's working and what we had learned about the process along the way.
Brady Bowman here with Karen Smothers, the Assistant Clinical Director for Pawnee Mental Health. And before we let you go, Karen, before we go to our next break, I'm going to try to have a little time for maybe some phone calls in the last 5-10 minutes of the show, because I think we have been getting a lot of phone calls. When I'm on the phone with somebody like this, we can't really have another phone caller come in. But just real quick before we let you go, the state does have a new governor, and of course there'll be another election in 2018 for governor, and of course midterm elections and a lot of local elections in the state house. As far as the direction, when it comes to mental health, at least from the state side of things in Topeka, are you seeing any progress there, or are you seeing just maybe more of the same? What's kind of your forecast there?
I was encouraged that when he was still Lieutenant Governor, looking at a few days out on becoming governor, that Lieutenant Governor Collier, now Governor Collier, came and visited Community Mental Health Center, spent a day going from Topeka to Manhattan to even Lawrence, to just visit community mental health, to emphasize the importance of it. I was encouraged to hear, you know, he's a surgeon, he's a doctor. I was encouraged to hear him recognize that even some of the patients he served, recognizing that mental health was an important component, and even needing to reach out to community mental health centers to get treatment for some of his own patients. And he kind of shared some of those experiences, even working with patients who are suicidal. So I was encouraged to hear that he had that perspective, not maybe just a bureaucratic perspective, but he's been in the trenches providing medical care and recognizing that some of those individuals, that part of medical care is mental health care. So that was encouraging to me. I guess the rest is yet to be seen.
Are you still encouraged after his stance on or being against Medicaid expansion?
Yeah, that's tough. politically, I kind of knew that's where he's already come from. I don't know if I've been holding on to hope that that might happen in Kansas to help more people be able to access mental health care. I'm trying to hold out hope.
All right. A lot of people are holding out hope for a lot of different things, for sure.
Yeah.
Karen, thanks so much for joining us and being able to talk to us via telephone and making it happen. Glad you were able to be flexible on that.
Thanks, Brady.
Thanks a lot. That was Karen Smothers, the Assistant Clinical Director for Pawnee Mental Health. When we come back, we did have a lot of phone calls. If you want to get those phone calls in, we'll take some of those as we close out In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged, get 24/7 response from Restore of the Heart.